The Flatus Show is brought to you by Douglas Brothers Apple Pectin Pea Powder Organic Soap, cleansing and rejuvenating hands and faces since 1923.
This podcast is a proud member of the Network of One Podcast. And also the Freak Network at thefreaknetwork.com.
On today's Bill of the Flatus Show, episode 145, Sporty Red Convertible, Theme Arrangement, Pink Starfish, and Insane Christians. All of this and more. The Flatus Show with Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. A low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Kids, welcome to the Flatus Show. Welcome to another week. Hope you kids have been doing well. I know I have been. I have been, got back from Washington last week, a vacation week in Washington with Randy and Andy, and I met Rebecca Ney from Training Wreck Radio and Sister Paula from sisterpaula.org. I think it's org. Sister Paula, the transgender Pentecostal preacher. And Daniel Spiro, the producer for Sister Paula. Voot, voot, voot. And how could I forget to add this? As you heard, I have a new theme. It's not really a new theme. It's my theme as imagined through the mind of Darren from Shop Inc. Oddcast. I'm not sure if James had anything to do with it. Maybe Darren and James. But I know Darren sent it to me, and he did this. He made my theme dark, which I really don't think it's dark at all, Darren. Sorry. But I love it, and I hope my listeners love it. Now, this is the mono version. I'm going to put a link of this theme onto my blog, so you can listen to the full, you know, stereo version of the Shop Pink version of the Flatus Show theme, which I just think rocks. It rocks my world. It just makes me feel special. So anyway, that's all. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad to see you. Jose, my co-host, is shopping at Bloomingdale's, so he won't be here today. So, let's see. I wasn't going to do a show today because, as you know, I wasn't going to do an audio show. I've been posting videos. I took videos, a lot of video, when I was out in Washington and Oregon. And so I had, I don't know, 7 or 8 movies, which I have been releasing every 3 days since last Sunday. So if you are a listener of the Flatus Show, and you didn't get an audio, that's the reason why, because the video is to replace. It's to replace that for the next week or so. So I can do some things around here. I've been cleaning up my room. It looks pretty good. I need to do a lot more cleaning, though, and to organize what I have, you know, get my stuff cleaned up, because I want to start painting. I'm going to be doing a painting for Randy as a thank you gift of a naked lady. So, actually, if there are any listeners who want to take them, any female listeners who want to take a picture of themselves naked for me, reclined on a couch, maybe with pearls around your neck, that would be appreciated, you know? Like, you know, try to find a pose that is, you know, something you've seen in an art in a museum, okay? So naked ladies, I need naked ladies to pose for me, to send me pictures of themselves. Clearly, I'm not asking you to send me naked pictures of yourself for me to do anything, because it's not going to do anything for me sexually. I just need this for art reasons. But I can understand if you don't want to send me pictures of your naked body. I will, I have images which I'm thinking about using. So, but I just, you know, thought I'd throw it out there. Because this is podcasting and this is social networking. So, you know, if anybody knows of a model that will work for, like, nothing or very cheap, then let me know. I live in the Rockport area of Massachusetts. Okay. And that would be great. So, you know, upon Randy's approval, okay? Actually, Cindy's approval, too, because she'll have to see the naked lady, too. So, firefighter and Cindy and firefighter Cindy and Randy will have to approve. They are engaged. They're going to get married in September. I won't be able to make it to their wedding, but I did wish them the best while I was there. Okay, so... what do we have now? Okay, so let's get on with this. The videos. So I have videos, okay? I'm having problems with the videos. I need help. I tried to ask Andy Melton, but he wasn't very helpful. And he doesn't really respond that quickly. But what happens is that I save them as MOV files, right? I post them on my blog, correct? That which is Blogspot. And then that feed goes to FeedBurner, and it turns it into a feed for podcasts in iTunes, okay? The MP3 files, you know, work fine. They get posted to iTunes, and they get uploaded to, you know, iPods. The MOV files get... they go on to iTunes, okay? If you have iTunes, and you're subscribed... If you're subscribed to The Flatest Show, and you listen using iTunes, then you'll see my movies. But they don't go into – they don't – for some reason, the iPod ignores them. And I want to know why the iPod is ignoring my movies. I want to know why the iPod is ignoring my movies. And that's – and that's, you know, that's it. You know, I want to know why the iPod's ignoring my movies. So – so I can have the iPod pick it up. But I don't even know if it's if that's important. If you're a listener to the blog, if you just go to the blog and listen, then you will have seen entries for the different movies. And they're going to come out every 3 days. There's six, seven or whatever. Seven movies, eight movies. So over the next week or week and a half, you'll see the video, the movies. In fact, I wasn't even going to do a show today. I said to myself, I'm not going to do a show because I want to work on my room and paint. But I thought I really owed it to my listeners to give them audio comment about the movies and stuff. Also, if you go to my Flickr page, I've uploaded a bunch of pictures from my trip. And I also took some – I got some pictures – I have some pictures from my past on there. So you can see what I looked like when I was younger if you're interested. Any of my listeners gone to, you know, or my, any of my listeners, my high school friends, I'll put it that way. Anybody who went to the high school I went to, I mean, if you listen, you'll know, right? We'll know each other, right? But I'm really curious about my high school reunion because this is just the 25th reunion for the high school. And, it seems like yesterday, and I'm curious about it. I don't know if there is one or not. I should call the high school and find out, see if I can get down there, find out what the day is so I can drive down or whatever I have to do. But I'm still a little curious about going down to see the 25th anniversary, to see what the people are up to. Okay, help with videos. So, you know, somebody help me. Zillafag, I know you're all that in a bag of chips, so Joe G tells me. Oh, honey, I know all about you. And maybe you can help me, because you seem to know how these things work. Your videos, they go right into my iPod. So you're like a video top, okay? I I don't understand. I don't even know how. What do you use, Illafag? Do you use Libsyn or whatever? I don't use Libsyn. I use it the old-fashioned way. I have my own website with my own server provider. So whatever the provider, IPS provider or whatever. And I use that to host my files, and then I use Blogspot for the blog for the blog, and then use that for the feed burner. I've already explained this, but I want to know what I'm doing wrong. I think it's some HTML thing. Maybe I'll have to do some experimentation. I don't know. So anyway, here's a phone call from Joe G.
Hey, Kenty. Sorry to hear about Jose. I just visited the website, and then, of course, I've been listening to your latest podcast. And I'm sorry to hear that your co-host has decided to move on to other ventures, particularly at Bloomingdale's. But I'm sorry that he's gone. Does this mean now that the position of being a co-host is open, and that maybe somebody else might be able to fill those little shoes of his? But anyway, I'm sorry to hear about that, and I'm sorry. I'm sure you're feeling a little bit sad or whatever, which makes a lot of sense. And we'll miss Jose, although he never said a damn thing the entire time I've listened to the podcast. But anyway, I hope he does enjoy his new ventures in Bloomingdale. And by the way, I heard John, he kept interrupting you over and over again. You should let him have his own podcast. Anyway, glad to hear that you're doing well, that John's doing well, and now I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of the podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joe. Actually, this is a little late because I already talked to you about this because I met you in Massachusetts, which I will talk about later. Melly, what's your problem, honey? She was crying, and I had to come out and I had to bring her into the room because she was in the other room by herself, and she's crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. But she's not crying now. Or she was crying a little bit. I guess I'm a liar. But anyway, I guess this is it. On with the show.
Oh, little Audrey says, save for rainy days. She says, but every time it rains, she spends what she puts away. She knows her proverbs, A to Z, and knows the good they bring.
But when she has to follow them,
well, that's another thing. Oh, little Audrey says, while the sun is out,
one day, little Audrey came home from school and went to the kitchen, and her mother was baking. She asked her mother, "What are you baking?" And her mother said, "I'm baking this pie with this Crisco. Look, it's brand new, and there's zero trans fat. Isn't that great, little Audrey?" But little Audrey just laughed and laughed and laughed because she knew Crisco's new formula had interesterified fat, which increases your blood sugar while lowering your good cholesterol.
Said that I'm the only one.
will my heart be broken when the night meets the morning sun. I'd like to know that your love is love I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again. Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Chris Hedges. As you know, kids, I mentioned I'd bought a book, which I haven't finished reading, but I will as soon as I'm done reading this other Chris Hedges book called I Don't Believe in Atheists, and how he likens the new atheists, this new atheist movement, to be just as virulent and just as fascist in many ways as the Christian right. Which, you know, is debatable, but, you know, he has his arguments, right? So anyway, when I was on vacation in Washington State, the beautiful Washington State, Johnny was here taking his vacation with Daniel from Rosario, Argentina. Hi, Daniel. How you doing? And Daniel bought me a book. He bought me Chris Hedges' book called American Fascist, The Christian Right and the War on America. And in this book, he outlines how the religious right behaves. And he went to their conferences, he went to meetings and all these things, and he learned about this group of the Christian right, which is not necessarily Christian or right. Probably not of either, but we're talking about basically the Dominionist movement in the United States, and the Dominionists believe that, what do they believe? They want to take over the United States and change the Constitution to be Bible-based. And they want to have the death penalty for adulterers and homosexuals and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, of course, that is, you know, in a nutshell. They are, and then he describes how they're fascist, right? Calling them American fascists. It means one thing, having a movement, right? I mean, there's this movement, this Dominionist movement. And then there is fascism. Now, in the beginning of the book, we have an essay by Umberto Eco. Is that good pronunciation, Joe G? Umberto Eco. Joe G, by the way, reads Italian. I'm so jealous of him. He can read Italian, and I have studied languages, but not as long. He studied Italian for 5 years. Maybe I need to study German for 5 years before I can start reading books. But, I can read books with a vocabulary of 300 words, as long as I have the vocabulary there at the end of the book. And that usually is related, you know, I'm limited to reading stories about rabbits and castles and stuff. But anyway, enough of my language learning. Umberto Eco had written an essay called Eternal Fascism, 14 Ways of Looking at a Black Shirt. And he says, in spite of some of the fuzziness regarding the difference between various historical forms of fascism, I think it is possible to outline a list of features that are typical of what I would like to call fascism or eternal fascism. These features cannot be organized into a system. Many of them contradict each other and are also typical of other kinds of despotism or fanaticism. But it is enough that one of them be present to allow fascism to coagulate around it. And there is the cult. One of these is the cult of tradition. Second, traditionalism implies the rejection of modernism. Irrationalism also depends on the cult of action for action's sake. Four, the critical spirit makes distinctions, and to distinguish is a sign of modernism. Five, besides disagreement is a sign of diversity. So they don't, you can't disagree, it's treason. Disagreement is treason. And disagreement is a sign of diversity. They don't like diversity. Ur-fascism derives from individual or social frustration. Okay, that's important to keep in mind here. And then seven, to people who feel deprived of a clear social identity, Ur-fascism says that their only privilege is the most common one, to be born in the same country. All right? So it gives people a sense of identity. Oh, well, I'm born in the United States, so that's my identity. All right? The followers must feel humiliated by the ostentatious wealth and force of their enemies. 9. For Ur-fascism, there is no struggle for life, but rather life is lived for struggle, which I think is probably the best description of the religious wrong. With their dominionist thinking and the end time scenarios. They're contentious as all hell. And they have nothing to be contentious about. I know, that was a little bit, I don't know. I'm not trying to pick fights with my fundamentalist listeners, okay? Because I know you're out there. God knows. Elitism is a typical aspect of any reactionary ideology. This is 10. Insofar as it is fundamentally aristocratic, and aristocratic and militaristic elitism cruelly implies contempt for the weak. 11. In such a perspective, everybody is educated to become a hero. Isn't that great? You hear that. Again, this is in these religious wrong programming. I say the religious wrong because I'm going to use the right words when it comes to that group. The dominionist, or the religious wrong, They own all of the Christian... Oops, sorry, honey. They own all of the Christian radio stations, okay? And they own, six networks, television networks. They are a small group, but they have powerful... can consolidate a group of people in the United States, mostly evangelicals. Now, evangelicals, I will say, and Americans in general, are not necessarily for or against dominionism, but if in there are certain parts of the country where they only hear what's on the radio, which is owned by these Christian cunts. I mean, oops, sorry, did I say that? And when I say cunt, is equivalent to prick, okay? So I don't want to hear any emails, okay? I'm using it in the same way, except Christian cunt goes better because it's more, what do they call that in poetry? Yeah, you know, it has the same k sound, or ch. Chunka has C and C, okay? Because Christian prick doesn't make sense. I could say pious prick, because that's, was it, assonance or something like that? I forget what it is. We'll have to ask a poet or poet out there. Any poets out there who know what I'm talking about? Because I know what I'm talking about, I just don't know what it's called. Okay, so anyway, since both are permanent, more... Okay, everybody's a hero, okay? That's what they say, that's what they want. Everybody's a hero. That's why you have people like Michael Makovich. I'll have links about him. He's a scary guy. Okay, 12. Since both permanent war and heroism are difficult games to play, the Ur-fascist transfers his will to power to sexual matters. See, that's another thing. Okay, here it says here, this is the origin of machismo, which implies both disdain for women and intolerance and condemnation of non-standard sexual habits, from chastity to homosexuality. It condemns chastity as well as homosexuality. Really. Because they want people to be married and they want the man in the family to fuck the woman. That's basically what it is. And the woman has no say, and men can't fuck each other because that's not right. That's non-standard, as Umberto Eco says. I would have to disagree with him. I think homosexuality is kind of standard. It's a standard, honey. Okay, Umberto, I don't know if you're alive yet. If you're not, I'll look up Umberto, you're wrong. Okay, but anyway, that's what he says, which annoys me. Okay, I'll continue. Since even sex is a difficult game to play, the Ur-fascist hero tends to play with weapons. Doing so becomes his ersatz phallic exercise. Yeah, the religious wrong demonize really all kind of sex, including anytime you put your boink your wife, you're going to feel guilty. Anytime you have a sexual feeling. You know, another thing is you always have these, okay, Chris Hedges, let me finish this real quick with 13, okay? 13, Ur-fascism is based upon a selective populism, a qualitative populism, one might say. And 14, Ur-fascism speaks newspeak. And that is, newspeak was invented by Orwell in 1984 as the official language of what he called ingsoc, English socialism. But elements of Ur-fascism are common to different forms of dictatorship. All the Nazi or fascist schoolbooks made use of an impoverished vocabulary and an elementary syntax in order to limit the instruments for complex and critical reasoning. But we must be ready to identify with other kinds of newspeak, even if they take the apparently innocent form of a popular talk show. Correct. That is so true. Okay, let me go back here. What was I saying as well? Sexual matters. What was I going to say about sexual matters? Yeah. Okay, that's where I was. Anyway, the way that the religious wrong are controlled is you have these male people. And I'm not against men, okay? But I'm against men considering that they're the only power and that they ignore everybody else, okay? This has happened to me in my own life, okay? Let me explain, is that there's a whole chapter about this in this book, about women, how they're treated, but they're not treated with any kind of respect, and they're not given any kind of voice. They're just there to do whatever the husband wants, right? Whether they want to fuck them or have them clean the house, bear babies, whatever. That's what they do. They're not giving any kind of voice. It's like the Islamic people. Not all Islamic people, but you know. I don't know, Islamic fundamentalists where the wife is, you know, covered up and, you know, you can't do anything. They're allowed to execute them. They have their, what do they call that? The family, they think the girl is doing something and the father has the right to kill her because some boy said he boinked her and nothing actually happened. But father, you know, is upset and has to kill the daughter. But what the hell is that called? But anyway, I'm not to lump all Islamic people into the same boat, okay? So if you're an Islamic listener, get over yourself, Mary. I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about this instance, okay? But it's these Christian fundamentalists are like that too, you know. And where am I getting here? I have my notes. There's a lot going on in my head right now because I'm reading this book. Oh, the newspeak. Okay, yeah. Let's get on to the newspeak. What they do is they change the language. This is how they recruit new people. All right, and it is a recruitment. They have their evangelism, right? But another way they do it is the words they use. They'll talk about liberty and they'll talk about freedom, but that doesn't mean liberty and freedom the way you and I believe understand liberty and freedom. The historical meaning of liberty and freedom, if you look at the context of the United States, because to these fundamentalists, they don't look at history the same way we do, and they blatantly disregard anything that has to do with real liberty and freedom. What they'll say is freedom is freedom from sin, and you only need Jesus for that. And liberty is the same sort of thing. So you have these and they hijack patriotism, okay? So it looks like these people are real patriots, but they're not. I see them also sort of during the last 10 years with the war in Iraq, right? Originally, these Dominionists were for the war in Iraq because they want war. They want continual war. And they also want the oil in Iraq. probably. But and you know, they're afraid of they have these pretense about Israel and the end times. They scare the bejesus out of people. I have known some born again Christians who are really into this end times crap, and they're scared to death. Okay, but they have this face. Oh, I'm saved. You know, Jesus loves me. I'll be taken up, and you'll burn. But they live in fear. They really do. And I would be afraid too, because, honey, you're following fascists. I mean, believe me, Jesus isn't coming anytime soon. And, I don't know. Maybe he is. But I don't think he's coming the way you think he is. You're going to be in real sorry trouble, because when these people get in the power, they're not going to care who you are, whether you're born again Christian or not. They're going to do what they want. And then you'll be sorry when you're carted off in a train, right? So where was I getting? So anyway, yeah, they changed the language. So what I see now is that, you know, there's this, you know, big movement, anti-war movement, anti-war, 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 anti-war. So I follow the religious wrong faithfully to cover the religious wrong. I'm in the front. I'm embedded. Well, not really embedded, you know, but I could be, right? I'd have to carry a Bible with me. I don't think I want to do that. But anyway, I'm listening to the religious wrong. And now you see in their blogs, oh, we're against war, we're against war. So they're sort of like trying to like match the chameleons. They're trying to match the predominant groups, you know, to rally them together. Oh, yeah, we're anti-war, so join us, you know. They'll look organized. And then, you know, next thing you know, they get them involved with their religious crap. And, you know, and it really boggles the mind that anybody would fall for that in this day and age with reason and everything. But, you know, people will believe – people – you know what? A fool was born every minute. Who said that? A sucker was born every minute. It is so true. And, you know, I can't believe people will get that involved in like Scientology and not know the difference. But, you know, the thing is, again, with Scientology and this like Dominionist is that they're recruited and then they're isolated, just like a cult. They are a cult. They're isolated and then they're kept from what happens, they get involved with these groups. And then they are, unless their families are saved, unless they can save their families and bring their families into there, they're sort of, you know, kept away from them, you know. And then if they leave, they're shunned, you know. So they use love bombing techniques to get them in. And it's really interesting the way these evangelists work.
I wonder why I could never hate you, even when you looked away. I've always loved you. So it's just the way we happen to be. It's just the way it happens to be. We don't know how to love. Love without fear. I'll tell you why I could never hate you, even when you're far away. I know you loved me in your soul. It's just the way we happen to be. It's just the way it happens to be. We don't know how to love. Love without fear. Part of me will always always be with you. Part of you is growing in me. It's just the way we happen to be. It's just the way it happens to be. We don't know how to love. Love without fear. We don't know how to tell each other. There's nothing we can do. I saw your soul, and you saw mine. It's just the way we happen to be. It's just the way it happens to be. We've always known inside our souls that love is there.
Jose. Well, this is to talk about Jose a little bit more. I, as you know, the voice comment we had from Joe G. He was given his condolences, and I got to meet Joe G. last week. Was it last week or the week before? It was the Sunday after I came back from vacation. It was last Sunday. He was visiting a friend in Massachusetts, and he was going to a conference for social workers, and. Is it a social worker? Social worker or sociologist, Joe? It's a social worker, I think. But anyway, something social. He's very social. And he invited me down for brunch to meet him. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to meet Joe G. He's like one of my longtime listeners. I mean, nearly 3 years, 2.5 years or whatever. I mean, I've been doing the podcast for 3 years. And so it's been a long time. So let me tell you about Jose. Do you know why Jose will always be part of the Fleta Show? No, kids? You don't? You want to hear the story of Jose and why he'll always be a part of the Fleta Show, whether he's shopping at Bloomingdale's or Bealtman's? Some low-calorie carbonated beverage. Well, it all started 10 years ago. The internet was just a young thing, and I'd met Johnny, and we'd been together for several years, and a couple years, and he had a friend, Leslie, who, as you know, recently had a stroke. We talked about that, and we used to hang out a lot, Leslie and John and I. John had these paintings, not paintings, but drawings he made of Leslie. Now, he worked in a medical place. He still works there, a medical office or whatever. It's not an office, but it's like a, I don't know what to call it, whatever. It's a group. It's like a medical group. So he was there, and his friend Leslie worked at this place too. She used to have a lab coat on. They all had lab coats on. And she bent over one day to pick up something. She had Crocs on, and this is before Crocs were popular, and he drew a picture of her bending over, right, with her butt in the air, and that became an iconic image of Leslie. So one day Johnny's I don't know what he was doing, and he drew Jose. We were looking at Jose, or he was looking at Jose from behind, and he drew little Jose's butt with the little tail going up as a little pink triangle or whatever, the pink starfish, right? And it became iconic. That was Jose, you know. But, you know, showing his butt at everybody. Now, so that's Jose, okay? And this is important because, as you know, Flatus, did you know how we came up with Flatus for the Flatus Show? Well, kids, I'll tell you. It all started so long ago. It all started with John again at this undisclosed medical place he works in Boston somewhere. And he had a friend whose name was, what the hell was her name? Bonky. That was not her name, but some last name. Yeah, we'll call her Bonky. Mrs. Bonky, okay? Not her real name. Danielle, that's it. Her name is Danielle. And Danielle and John were at a tumor board. This is a thing that happens weekly. John is a tumor registrar, and he's go to tumor board every week. And the doctors talk about what's going on with their patients. So one doctor, Dr. A, was talking about Ethel Greenblatt, not her real name. I don't know who the patient was. I just pulled that out of my ass. So anyway, Ethel Greenblatt was experiencing flatus. And that's what the doctor said. You know, Ethel Greenblatt is experiencing flatus from taking this medicine A from a big pharmaceutical company who is, you know, raping us. But so John and Danielle, they started laughing. Flatus, right? So they started saying, using this word often in the office because they worked in the same office. It was like if you go to this medical group, they're like office. There are offices. I mean, and there's like two people in an office for this type of work. So John and Danielle were in the same office. So they used flatus all the time. So if you were leaving, basically what it ended up meaning was goodbye. So if you were leaving, you say flatus, meaning like later, you know, later. Well, flatus, okay? So that's flatus. Flatus. So if you're saying goodbye to somebody, now you can say flatus. Flatus. So Jose, you know, we have the image of Jose with his little butt. And we have flatus, okay? Now, why? How does this relate? Right? How is Jose part of the flatus show? And it brings a tear to my eye because, you know, this is history. I mean, this is all interconnected with people I know. I mean, the flatus show is just not something I pulled out of my ass. I mean, it really is the very words, the flatus show, reveal something about me biographically. I mean, you know, it's real things happening in my life. It's not just false. It's not a veneer. So we're together, and it's a couple years, and we, you know, have internet access. And I, you know, Yahoo just came out with groups, I think it was. Yahoo groups, you know. It was like Yahoo search engines was a big thing. It's like Yahoo was the big thing. This is all before Google. And remember those commercials for Yahoo? So Yahoo groups, they had groups. And so John and I were like, ooh, groups, right? And we were like looking at pornography and stuff like that. There was one group called Salman is Gay. And Salman was a, what was his name? Salman, whatever. He's Indian. He's a star. He's like a big star in Bollywood. And there was one group called Salman Something is Gay, which I think was a riot. It ended up that Salman, he was arrested in India for hunting a white elk or something, or white deer, some endangered species. He went bow hunting, and he shot and killed an endangered species. So he was arrested. I'm not really sure what happened to him after that. But if he got imprisoned, I wonder if he was gay. But anyway... But, you know, that's only if he was in the Clark County jail, you know, would he have discovered that. But I'm just joking, Andy and Randy. So I joined this group called the Gay Opera Punks, which is still in existence. Daniel, not his real name. I don't know what his real name is. Maybe it is Daniel. But he went by the name Marquis de Posa. And that is a character in Don Carlo. It's his favorite opera at the time. Maybe it still is his favorite opera. I don't know. But he had a group called Gay Opera Punks. And I thought, I'm a gay opera punk because, damn it, you know, I don't like the traditional opera crap. I mean, I, you know, my opera experience was like Burt Whistle, which we talked about, which I missed recording Punch and Judy. So did any of my listeners record it last week? Please say you did and send me a copy. But, you know, I missed the Punch and Judy. And anyway, I was listening to things like Punch and Judy and Bear Glulu. That was my opera, you know. And then I joined Gabberpunks and I got involved with that group, okay? With this, we got into, I got into trading operas, recording operas and trading. And it was really fun, you know. I learned how to record them. I had to learn how to record them onto my iMac. I had an iMac. And it was, you know, it took a while. It took a while for me to learn how to actually record and then burn. I had to buy a burner. So I'm trading with these people, like Daniel, right? We're listening to the opera, the Met Opera, and we're discussing it every week. You know, this is going on during that time. And I was, at that time, I was just listening to the Metropolitan Opera broadcast from the radio because we had good reception in Boston. And which is ruder, a yawn or a burp. But anyway, I was listening to the operas and we started recording. There's the burp. I have a yawn and a burp for you. More low-calorie carbonated beverage. So we're discussing the operas. We're listening to the operas. We're trading the operas. Because, you know, some weeks, you know, I might miss it because, you know, we have lives. We have parties to go to or whatever, you know, family and whatever. So, Daniel, he has Wanker Records. See, I get his first – I get a CD from him, and it says Wanker Records. Oh, first we were exchanging things that we actually had. Like I was making copies of things I had. And then I stopped doing that, figuring I'm not going to make a copy of something I bought. I mean, if anybody wants to buy it, they can buy it themselves, right? And it really annoyed me was Daniel. Daniel, are you listening? I love Daniel, okay? So, but what annoyed me is that he would record things like the DG Don Carlos or whatever, right? And he'd put Wanker Records on it. I'm like, that's not Wanker Records, honey. That's Deutsche Grammophon. But so anyway, so I started recording the Metropolitan Opera broadcast because, you know, I was interested in it. And it was so exciting because recording those operas – this is a long way around to find out how Jose is part of the Flatus show. But I was listening to those operas intently, very closely, as I was recording them and re-listening to them. And it was just so magical. It was a magical experience. The only way, I think, to really get into opera is to, you know, get into it that way. Record them. And you'll want to listen to it very carefully. So, and then you have the opportunity to listen to it again, and you really get to hear performance, you know, it's not just a one-time thing, it's actually you're studying it. Because, I mean, operas are long things, could be very long. I mean, even at 2 hours, it would be long. I mean, many operas are longer than that. So, anyway, I digress. But anyway, what happens is I'm trading the operas, right? So I'm thinking, I need to have a label. And I'm thinking, Johnny, what can I have for the label? And so we're thinking of RCA, his master's voice, you know, with the little dog. And I said, how about his master's fart or his master's flatus? And we called it Flatus Records. I called it Flatus Records. And there was an image, and I used the image of Jose's butt up in the air. And so there was Flatus Records. So many years later, when I decided to start podcasting, I thought, what could I call my show? Because I was thinking about the podcast, what I wanted to do. And I thought, I'll call it the Flatus Show because, you know, Flatus Records, you know, get it? It's part of my life, intimate part of my life. The word envelops John's and mine, our relationship. Our entire, you know, the time we've been together so far, and it will forever. It will always be, or will always belong to Paris. You know, what is that thing? You know, we will always belong to us, you know. And Jose will always be a part of it. He will always be that special dog with the butt for Flatus Records. And the Flatus Show, and that's originally how it happened. And actually, when I had mentioned Jose for the first time, he was in here sleeping on the couch. And I thought, how appropriate that he is my co-host. So I do miss Jose very much. I miss him especially when John picked me up from the, when John picked me up from the train at night. Jose used to be with him, and I still, you know, take a moment to realize he's not there in the car when John comes pick me up, and I miss him now. He's, you know, not on the couch. He's at Bloomingdale, so. So if I didn't give Jose a good, you know, send-off in the previous show, it's just that by that point, John and I had been emotionally drained. I mean, we, you know, had a good cry, and John had a nice, you know, memorial for him, and I put up the picture of him. And I really have been meaning to give Jose an even better memorial, but I just haven't had the time. I wanted to do a video, but I did want to let you know that I'm not cavalier about Jose's passing. I miss him very much. I don't miss him peeing on the floor, and there are some things, you know, I don't miss. Private things about Jose, which, you know, are not polite to talk about, but I hope you realize, I mean, I did miss Jose. I mean, I have a heart. I don't know if I came off heartless or whatever, but this is just to let you know how much Jose really is a part of the Flatus Show and will always be a part of the Flatus Show. And every time I turn on this mic, Jose will be here sleeping.
Another 5-minute mystery. Toll gate to the great new cross-country speedway, a sporty red convertible pauses.
How much, bud?
$1.50 to the next gate. Hey, what's the trouble with your friend there in the back seat, all bandaged up that way?
Accident.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, good luck. Hey, take it easy, about 2 miles ahead. Repairs.
Okay, I'll watch it.
The convertible travels fast. 2 miles farther on, they round a slight curve. The temporary fences around the road repair work loom close ahead. There is a sudden shout from a man at the side of the highway.
Hey, look out!
Joe, did you see that? One of them guys fell out of the back seat. Let's get over there, quick.
So, Mr. Bryant, you say you weren't aware of the construction sign.
Not until I was right on top of him, Sheriff. Ask Al here. He was in the back seat with Johnny. Did we see him, Al?
Didn't the toll gate keeper warn you about that spot?
Well, the signs are moved for just a couple of minutes, Sheriff. Brad and I was out there to warn the cars to slow down.
Now, this guy came along so fast, though, we didn't get a chance.
You realize, of course, Mr. Bryant, that this is a very serious matter. The third person in your car, John Albertson, was killed instantly when he fell from the back seat. The toll gatekeeper reports that he was already the victim of an accident, was bound up in bandages.
I know, Sheriff. I shouldn't have driven so fast. I don't know what to say.
Well, let's hear your story, Joe.
Yeah, it was this way, Sheriff. Brad and I were standing alongside the highway, like I said, and all of a sudden this red convertible comes racing along, doing, oh, at least 85 around the curve.
I see. Go on.
Well, the two guys in the back seat, this big man Al here and the other guy, they were sitting there with their heads down. When the brakes went on, they raised up. John, the bandaged one, fell out the back. He must have lost his grip, I guess. He just flew right out the back when the car stopped.
He flew out the back, eh?
Hey, Sheriff, can we go now? I'll come back later if you want, but I feel pretty bad about this. I think I could use some rest.
Rest? Sure, Mr. Bryant, you'll get plenty of rest. Right here in the county jail. I'm holding you for the murder of John Albertson.
What reason did the sheriff have for believing that John Albertson was murdered? In just a moment, we'll find out, but first...
Thank you.
And now, back to our five-minute mystery and the murder of John Albertson.
Murder? What are you talking about, Sheriff? There wasn't any murder.
It was murder, all right. And you and Al here collaborated on it. You see, Bryant, when a moving vehicle stops suddenly, the passengers in it are thrown forward, not backward. If Albertson lost his grip, he would have been thrown into the front seat, not back onto the highway. Your having him all bandaged up like that just made it easier for Al to throw him out. You see, Bryant, this time it was natural law that threw you into the hands of social law. Say, that's not a bad line.
Oliver Wendell Holmes, Contentment. Little I ask, my wants are few. I only wish a hut of stone, a very plain brownstone will do, that I may call my own. And close at hand is such a one in yonder street that fronts the sun. Plain food is quite enough for me. Three courses are as good as ten. If nature can subsist on three, thank heaven for three. Amen. I always thought cold victual nice. My choice would be vanilla ice. I care not much for gold or land. Give me a mortgage here and there. Some good bank stock, some note of hand, or trifling railroad share. I only ask that fortune send a little more than I can spend. Honors are silly toys, I know, and titles are but empty names. I would perhaps be plenipo, but only near St. James. I'm very sure I should not care to fill our gubernator's chair. Jewels or baubles, 'tis a sin to care for such unfruitful things. One good-sized diamond in a pin, some not so large in rings, a ruby and a pearl or so will do for me, I laugh at show. My dame should dress in cheap attire. Good heavy silks are never dear. I own, perhaps, I might desire some shawls of true cashmere, some Maori crepes of China silk, like wrinkled skins on scalded milk.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.
Your having him all bandaged up like that just made it easier for Al to throw him out. You see, Bryant, this time it was natural law that threw you into the hands of social law. Say, that's not a bad line.